Today's daf is Kritu Tafa. We're going to start about 12 lines from the bottom of Hey Amud Bet. Tana Rabbanan Moshchim Et HaMelechim Kimin Nezer. So we were talking about how they do the anointing. So there's a difference between how you do for the kings and how you do for the Kohanim. So the kings you would do Kimin Nezer. You make a round circle around their head. And Et HaKohanim, which makes it right, it's like a crown. Ve'et HaKohanim Kimin Ki. If you remember, we learned this, what's a key? So Ki Amar Rav Menashe Kimin Ki Yivani. It's like the Ki Yivani, the X of the Yevanim, like chiastic structure, comes from the key. Some people say it's like a chaf sofit, okay? So now we're going to have different explanations about how they did the kimin key. Tanachada, b'tchilam matzik shemen arosho. First, they would pour the shemen on the head. V'acharkach notem lo shemen ben risei enav. Then they would put it between their eyes, and then, if I understood correctly from what I read, it sounds like they would take from between their eyes and then go back and kind of make an X on their head. I don't 100% understand how it worked. The question here is going to be, do you first put the shemen on the rosh and then do the ben riseinav? Or tanachrite b'tchila noten lo shemen ben riseinav? First you put it between the eyes, v'achar kach metzik lo shemen al rosho, and then you pour shemen on the head. So they say tanahi. This is a machloka tanaim. Ikalaman damar meshicha adifa. Ikalaman damar yitzika adifa. There's two lishonot that it says by Aharon. Meshicha, which sounds like pouring. And I'm sorry, yitzika, which sounds like pouring. And meshicha, which sounds like anointing, which is doing this key structure. So my time and daman damar. So some say, you know, first you do the meshicha and first you do the yitzika. My time and demand amar yitzika adifa. We should start with the yitzika, the pouring. Shine amar vayitzak mishemen ha-mishcha rosh aharon. And then it says vayim shachoto. So first it says yitzika, then it says mishicha in the pasuk. That seems like a pretty good proof. Umand amar mishicha adifa kasavar shekenit rabe etzak lesharet. Since most of the mishichot happen using mishicha, like you would pour them on the kelim in the mikdash, so therefore that's also the way you did it with the kohanim. Hakti vayitzak, but doesn't it say vayitzak or levasof vayimshach? That was a pretty good proof. Hachi kamar, ma time vayitzak mishum vayimshach. You had to be yotzek shemen because of the mishicha. The mishicha comes last in the pasuk. It doesn't mean it's less. It doesn't mean in the order it happens is first. It's you do the yitzika because you need to do the mishicha. So, but really the mishicha is what's important. Mishum vayimshach otod lekadsho. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to darshan some psukim from Tehillim. Okay, maybe we should look at all the psukim in Tehillim before we start, just so you see them. Okay, it's Tehillim Kuf Lamed Gimel. Open it in a second. Kuf Lamed Gimel starts out. Shir Hamalot LeDavid Hine Ma Tov U'Manaim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. Very famous pasuk. Today we're going to darshan it. Keshemen hatov al harosh yored al hazakan zekan aharon. If you remember, we actually learned this before. It's like the good shemen that falls from the head of Aharon onto his zakan, onto his beard. Sheyored al pimidotav. Ketal chermon sheyored al harretzion. Kisham siva shemet habracha chayim ad haolam. By the way, that's all of Kuf Lamed Gimel. That was the whole parak. Okay, it's like the tal chermon that comes down from the mountains. Okay. So what are we going to darshan about this? Kimin shnei tipim margaliot hayu tluyot la'aron biskano. He had like two beads of like pearls. There were these two droplets from the shemen ha-mishcha that rested on his beard, that kind of were standing there. Amar Rav Kahana Tana, there's a braita about this. So we're kind of taking a break in the middle to say this. Kashum esaper, while he would speak, olot v'yoshvot b'ikares kano. Okay, so when he would speak, they would, in order they wouldn't fall, what would happen? As he would speak, they would kind of go up and sit right on the base of his beard. Moshe Rabbeinu was very worried about these two drops. He said, maybe I poured too much. So here comes the drasha from the pasuk. Matal Embo Mila, Af Shemesh Yeredos Kan Aron Embo Mila. That's the connection to the Talach Hermon. There's never Mi'ila with Tal, it's not Hekdesh. This Shemen, there's no Mi'ila by it. Don't worry about it, Moshe. But that was enough to appease Moshe, but Adayin Aharon Doeg. Okay, and Haron said, Shema Moshe Lo Ma'al. Fine, maybe he didn't do anything wrong while he poured it. Ba'anima Alti, but maybe I am doing something wrong with it. That's Tavat Kol Va'amra Lo. And here we go back to Pasuk Aleph. Hine Matov U'Manaim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. Ma Moshe Lo Ma'al, Af Ata Lo Ma'alta. Okay? You're just like Moshe. That's what the Shevet Achim Gam Yachad is. You're in the same category as he is. Right? You're together with him in my book. You didn't do any Me'ilah. Okay, I don't know exactly what the importance of this image of the tipot on his beard, and not sure what to make of it. Tanu Rabbanan. Ein Moshchin et Melachim El Alamayan. Where do you do the Mashiach for kings? By the water, by a stream. Why? Because a stream constantly runs. What would that be a siman for? Kidei Shetimashech Machutan, that your kingdom will continue to be yours. Shneamar Vayomer Hamelech. This is in Shlomo Hamelech. Borad Temoto Al Gichon Umashach Oto Sham. Go anoint him by the Gichon. Amrav Ami Haiman Debai Leda Imash Chashate Ilo. If you want to know, okay, so we started with, and here we're going to get into. We started with that. Go anoint the kings by the water because it's a good omen, right? It looks good. So now they say, well, if you want to know if you're going to live out the year or not, right, what do? Take, okay, here, good advice. Okay, I don't know if you should try this at home, but we'll see what the Gemara says about this. But what do you do? Maite shraga behalin asara yom in debein, re shata li yom de kipure. Okay, we're heading on Elul soon. Take a candle, okay, in the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. V'nitzle bebeite delo nashiv zika, and put it in a house where there's no wind. If the light continues, you know that that will be a siman that you will live out the year. Now, if you want to go into a business venture, you want to know, will it be successful? So, nirbe tarnagola, go raise a rooster. If it gets bigger and fatter and grows nicely, you'll know that you'll be successful. Hi, mandabai nepuk ba'orcha. You want to go on a trip, and you want to know, by dineda yihada lebeite. You want to know, will you make it back home or not safely? Neon nekum bebeita debata. Go into a dark house. Ichaze bevoa de bevoa. If you see a shadow of a shadow, neda daate lebeite. You'll know that you'll come home safely. Some people say that what it means is there's like somebody watching out for you, right? If there's a shadow within your shadow, there's someone protecting you, that you have this protection. Okay, here comes the big line of the Gemara. Vilav miltahi. And this stuff is not anything, okay? In other words, don't try this at home, okay? There's actually an interesting debate. Is it just the last one, or is it all three that we mentioned, okay? And Dilma why? Dilma chalsha date, here's the big line, umitra mazale. Because maybe if you, let's say you don't see that shadow, that extra shadow, what's going to happen? You're going to think, oh my God, I'm not going to come home safely. And that's the assumption is that you're going to go anyway, but because you go with a bad attitude, right, what's going to happen? Mitra mazale, your mazal is going to go bad. And right, this is basic psychology. If you think you'll succeed, you'll succeed. If you have a good attitude, things will go well. If you have a bad attitude, often that causes other bad things to happen. And therefore, don't try doing this because it'll kind of mess you up. You know, it's got a likelihood of causing bad things to happen. There's a big question here by the Rishonim. Again, we have a really long daf. I don't have time to go into it. But what about, if you want to look it up, what about the issue of lo tenachashu? Isn't this nichush, this asur midoraita, which is don't, you know, do something and see where it falls and then say, based on this, I'm going to do that. So they say that's a little different because that's saying you're going to act based on what you see. Here you're just kind of looking for siman about, you're not basing it on what happens. You're just kind of hoping that you'll get some good luck to, you know, give you support or something. But anyway, it's an interesting gemara. Amar Abaye, we're going to continue a little more with this. Hashtag Amrit Simana Miltahi. Now that you said that a Simana is Milta, here's another, there's a lot of nice things in today's stuff. Yehe Ragil Inish Lamecha Reshata. People on Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, this is interesting, right? At the beginning of the year, it doesn't say Rosh Hashanah, it's Reshata, right? Like you stand in the beginning of the year, if you want all these good things to happen, what should you do? You should Lamecha, you should eat Kara verubia karte silka vitmare. These are exactly, as simani, I said, all these nice things. These are the simani, and this is where it comes from. Okay, you should eat gourd and fenugreek and leeks and beets and dates. Now, what's interesting about this? First of all, there's an interesting nusach, change of nosach. If you see by lemecha, there's a bet. Some people say lemechze. You're supposed to just look at them. You're not even supposed to eat them. Okay, so there's a debate. You're supposed to look at them. You're supposed to eat them. There's a million different opinions about this. Why? Why these things? Doesn't say why. So is it because some people say they're sweet, some of them, and that they're...
They grow quickly.
Right, they grow quickly. Okay, so they multiply, you know, it's like a sign of good things that will come, there will be plenty, plentifulness, is that a word? But then, right, what about the Yehiratzons that we say, where we do a play on words? So some people say it's a play on words of what these words mean. And I found that the Magen Avraham says, it's very interesting, it's good because we do this kind of thing, where he says that because it's a play on words, it could be any fruits or vegetables or anything that's a good play on words, even in another language. It doesn't even have to be in Hebrew. You could, you know, like Seth always loves to say every year, let us have a raisin salary. Yeah, that's like, so anyway, so there's a source for that in the Magen Avraham. Okay, now I have more to say at my table this year. Amar le Rav Misharshia lebnei. Rav Misharshia said to his son, ki be'ite lemeza lemigmar kamei ribchon, grusu me'ikara. This is some good advice. When you go to learn before your rabbi, first learn the Mishnayot. Grusu me'ikara matnitin v'hadar ulu. Okay, and it's first go learn the Mishnayot well, and then go to your teacher so that you can know what you're doing and ask him good questions. V'hadar ulu kamei rubchen, and then go to your rabbi. V'chiyat vitu kamei rubchen, and when you're sitting before your rabbi, chazu l'pumei d'rabchen, look at his mouth, right, this is read my lips like Amir Peretz, so I shaved off his mustache in Yana Deyoma. You should basically see your teacher when he's teaching. Keep very focused is what he's trying to say, right? Don't doze off, right? Stare at your rabbi. That'll help you keep focused on what he's saying. Garsitu shmatu grusu amayam. When you want to repeat and review, memorize them, and now you see why this connects. Learn it by the water. Just like the water keeps flowing, that way your Torah will keep flowing. But do it here. I didn't read the rest. And figure out which location to do it in. Better to do it in the garbage dumps of Mata Machasya than in the palaces of Pumbedita. Okay, there was an assumption that Pumbedita, the people were bad, and the people were better in Matam Achasya, better to be surrounded by a good chevra in a junky place than to be in a bad chevra in a nice place. Tav gildena sarya lemecha mikutcha dirame kife. Better to, right, this is eating a, what is it? Better to eat fish.
Gildena fish.
A small smelly fish than to eat kutach dirame kifi. What's that?
Even if the kutach is so strong.
Even if
you throw it on the rocks, it'll break.
Wait, what's so? Oh, the fish?
The kutach.
Ah, because the kutach is so hard that it'll break your teeth. That's the assumption. I forget what this means.
The kutach was a dip, I think.
Right. Kutach was this. I always laugh at the kutach. That it's like sour. It's kind of like yogurty with bread,
so mildewy bread and salt.
Right, mildewy bread and salt.
It was considered a delicacy.
Yeah, it was considered a good food. So better to eat. Sorry.
Because
Because it's expensive, right? Uh huh. Adorame kifi. Afilum chaz. It's mshaber avanim.
So it is connected to the thing before. Basically, stay simple and pure and don't get too haughty and
careless your phone from eating the kutach. But what's the breaking your teeth?
The reason that the kutach, a dip composed of sour milk, moldy bread, and crumbs and salt, clogs the heart, blinds the eyes, and weakens the
heart. That's what it is, right? There's all these, right? We've learned these things before, that it messes up your body in other ways. So he's saying better to eat something like that because. Right, the gildana, because the kutach causes other problems. And as it looks nice, I guess that's what it is. It looks nice, and it tastes good, but in the end, it's going to cause you problems. It's like, right, good desserts, right? In the end, you regret after you eat them, you feel gross, and it doesn't really help you. Okay. Tov, finish with this. We have one more thing. Vatitpalel chana vatomar alatz libi b'Hashem ramak karni. So, which is also ramak karni b'Hashem. Ramak karni v'lo ramak pachi. Notice it says ramak karni and not pachi. Okay, what did they learn from this? David u'shlomo shenimshechu b'keren nimshecha malchutan. Shaul v'yehu shenimshechu min hapach lo nimshecha malchutan. It's a sign, right? She wanted ramak karni my keren and not my pach, because it's a sign for David and Shlomo that their malchut was continued. That's because they were anointed using a horn, whereas Shaul and Yehu were anointed using a pach, a pitcher, and their malchut didn't go anywhere. Okay, back to the Mishnah. Hamifatem et haktoret. So now we're up to the next case. Tanu Rabbanan. Hamifatem et haktoret l'mod ba, o l'moscha l'tzibur. Remember we saw about the Shemen HaMishcha, what if you did it? So here also with the Pitum haktoret, if you want to do it to learn how to do it, or to give it to the tzibur, you're patur. You're not going to get karet for doing that. But l'hariach ba, if you're going to do it in order to smell it, you're chayav. V'hameriach ba patur, ela shema'al. But the one who, it's usher to make the ktoret to smell, but one who smells it, okay, like if you give it to someone to smell, then they're not chayav karet. But he's chayav ami'ila. He misused consecrated property. Umi'ika mi'ila bereach, is there really a din of mi'ila by smell? V'hama rishim v'mpazi, amar v'yashua ben levi, mishum bar kapara, kol umara v'reach, ein mishum mi'ila. Okay, when it comes to, what are the cases here? If you enjoy listening to the voices of the Levim singing, that's not Me'ila. If you see the Beit HaMikdash and say, what a beautiful place, you're benefiting from seeing, that's not Me'ila. And when it comes to smelling, if you smell the smells that come out of the Beit HaMikdash, you're not Chayav and Me'ila. So how can you say that smelling the Ktoret is Me'ila when we say there is no such thing as Me'ila by Reach? So what do they say? Oh, there's a difference. Reach ha'charsh talet timrato ein bo mishum Me'ila. When we're talking about the smell, we're talking about after they burn the incense on the Mizbeach, well, then, you're not chayav and me'ila. Why is that? Okay, before I even get there, that's distinguished from if you take ktoret and you smell it on your own, not that you're smelling the reach that's coming from the Beit HaMikdash after it was burned, but you burn up your own ktoret, you know, the Beit HaMikdash ktoret, that's me'ila. So you could be chayav me'ila from a smell if it's before the mitzvah was done to it. Why is that relevant? Sharei ein lecha davar achar shenasa mitzvato umo'alim bo. Once something's the mitzvah is done, there's no din of me'ila anymore. So then, okay, so now they're going to say, alama lo, is that really true? That there's no din? So you understand, so that's the me'ila, that's the answer to the reach. Reach, after the mitzvah's been done, that's allowed. You're not going to get me'ila for that. But if you take the ktoret and you smell it, not before the mitzvah was done, then you're going to be chayav in me'ila. Now they're going to question, we're going to go off on a tangent about this, is it really true that once a mitzvah is done to something, there's no din of me'ila? Alam alo, why not? V'hare trumat adeshen, here's an example. The trumat adeshen, what do you have to do? We talked about this the other day. You take the ashes from the mizbeach, you put some, right, you take a kometz full and you put it next to the mizbeach. Dinaseh mitzvata, once you put it next to the mizbeach, you've done your mitzvah, umo'alimba, and yet there's a din of me'ila. So, how can you explain that? That's mitzvah is done, and yet, if you were to take the ashes from there and use them, you'd be chayav. Mishum dehavit trumat adeshen u'bigdei kehuna, shnei ktuvim habayin kechad. They're working a little backwards here. They're only going to tell you later what the bigdei kehuna is. It's as if, right, this Gemara is a little, in general, I find in this Masechet, they often tell you things later that they should have told you before. But now they say, there are shnei ktuvim habayin kechad. If you remember, we've had this a number of times. If something's mentioned in one place, you can learn from it to all the other places. Once it's mentioned in two, or there's a machloket, some people say three, then already we say just there, nowhere else. So here we're going to have two unique cases where it says it. The big day kuna of the Kohen Gadol after Yom HaKippurim. Okay, after he uses the big day lavan, he had two different types of clothes, right? The white clothing he used on Yom HaKippurim is asur b'mi'ila, although we'll see not everybody agrees with that. Okay, so that's what they say. So there's shnei ktuvim ba'im ke'achad, kol shnei ktuvim ba'im ke'achad, em elamdim, and therefore, generally the klal is, once the mitzvah is done, there's no din in me'ila, only in those two unique cases. Hanicha l'Rabbanan, okay, that matches Rabbanan's opinion. Ela l'Rabbi Dosa, who disagrees about the big day kuna and doesn't think they're usher b'me'ila after Yom HaKippurim, ma'ika l'memer, what can you say? So now they're going to go back and explain Rabbi Dosa and Chachamim's machloket. De'tanya v'hinicham sham. The Kohen's supposed to take his clothes and put them down there. What does it mean, put them down there? Milamech tunim geniza, according to Chachamim, that means they have to be put there and left there forever. Rabbi Dosa omer, k'sheri hen l'kohen idyot, the white clothes the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippurim were the same as the regular, remember the Kohen Gadol had his own unique clothes. But in Yom Kippurim, he wore these very simple clothes, the ones of the Kohen Idyot, right? He changes his clothes all day to the Bigdei Lavan, Bigdei Zahav, but the Bigdei Lavan were the same as the Kohen Idyot. So, Rabbi Dosa says that after Yom Kippurim, a Kohen Hedyo can wear them, meaning they're not Tehun Geniza, and there's no Din of Me'ilah. So, Matamud Lamar, the Rabbi Dosa Binicham Sham, how does he explain that? Shelo Yishtamesh Bam B'Yom Kippurim Acher. They can't ever be used again for Yom Kippurim, but they can be used on a regular day. So, what's he going to say about our case? So now we only have Trumat Adeshen, which means from Trumat Adeshen you can learn that even after Shanaseh Misvata, there would still be a Din of Me'ilah. So the answer, Mishum Dehavet, Trumat Adeshen Ve'egla Rufa, Shnei Ktuvim Habayim Ke'achad. V'chol Shnei Ktuvim Habayim Ke'achad, Eim Alandim. Oh, there's another case, Egla Rufa. Trumat Adeshen Ma'hi. So now finally we go back and say, where do you get the Trumat Adeshen? There's a Din of Me'ilah, because until now they just assumed it, but they didn't tell you. Titanya V'samo Etzal HaMizbeach. The fact that they say you have to put it next to the mizbeach, v'samo, if you remember, we learned, we darshan this word v'samo a few times, it means it needs to be gnaz, you can't use it anymore. Egla arufa mahi, what's the source there? Detanya varfusham eta egla banacham. They learn there, again, varfusham, they do it there, meaning it has to stay there. So, also to gniza. Ulamanda amar, okay, so now, so okay, so if we don't have those two, at least we have those two, Egla Rufa and Trumat Adeshen. So now they say, well, that only works if you say, Laman Damar Shnei Ketuvim Rabin Ke'echam Melamdim. What if you say, oh, two, you could still learn to everything else, only three you can't learn, and we only have two. So what are you going to say? Ha Chavadai Eim Melamdim. But still, you're not going to learn from Trumat Adeshen and Egla Rufa to any other case because of something unique in the Psukim by those places. Mishum dehave tre miute. There's specific miutim in the psukim there. B'trumat Adeshen k'tiv v'samo. It says, and you put it, meaning hadin in midiach rini lo. Just this has this unique halacha, but not anywhere else. Gabe egla rufa k'tiv ha arufa. It said there, barfusham et ha egla. Right? Therefore, arufa in midiach rini lo. Only this one and not any other. Okay, so that's how we learn that these are unique. Even if you don't have the klal, Shnei Ketuvim Ba'im Ke'echad, Eim Melamdim, you could still say these have unique wordings that teach it's unique to this place and not anywhere else. Okay, if you want the next interesting thing in today's daf, well, every Shabbat, and in Israel also on a daily basis, we say Pitu Maktoret, right, after davening. So, right, in Enkel Ohenu, say Pitu Maktoret. Now we're going to learn all the words of Pitu Maktoret. You're finally going to understand all these words that you say every week and don't really understand. I hope you'll understand them today. Pitu Maktoret. Okay, I'm not going to get into all the details of what I'll kind of tell you their name in English. Okay, I don't know if it'll really help you because you probably don't know what. Maybe some people know what these things are, but try to go through quickly. What's the recipe for Pitu Maktoret? Hatsari, okay, which is balm. Tziporen, which is called onaika. I think that's how you pronounce it. Yeah, so they call it onika. They don't call it cloves. Maybe it also is cloves. There's a whole, you can look at this long, long Wikipedia site about what onika is. Some people say it comes from a snail. Some people say it comes from a plant, from Chavetzela Rasharon. There's a whole debate about what exactly this is. I don't think it means cloves the way we call tziporin. It doesn't seem that way, but maybe. Maybe cloves is also, I don't know. You have to look at it. Look it up. Okay. Hachelbona v'halavona. Okay, chelbona is galbanum, and livona is frankincense. That we know from the mincha offering. Okay, those four, why do we start with those four? Those four are the only four mentioned in the pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk in the Torah in Shmot, it explains what you're supposed to put in. It's Shmot Lamed. It gives you those four items. Okay, it doesn't call them that. It calls them netef, shachelet, chelbona, and livona. So there's a whole debate about what exactly shachelet is. And then netef is sari, shachelet is siporin, chalbona is chalbona, levona is levona. That's easy. Okay, so there's four there. We'll see later in the Gemara, they're going to say the fact that there's 11 is a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Okay, it was passed down that there are actually 11, not just four, and that's going to be the next ones on our list. Okay, so these four, mishkal shiv im shal shiv im mana. What does that mean? the weight of them, of how much you're supposed to take, is 70 units of 100 dinarim. Okay, Abaneh is 100 dinarim. 70 units of 100 dinarim, that's a large amount. Okay? So that's the amount you need of each of those. This is a recipe, basically. More, uktziah. This we saw yesterday, right? The mir and the cassia. Shibolet nerd is called spinard. Bikarkom, that we know is saffron. Mishkal shishasar shel shishasar manah. That you need 16 units of 100 dinarim of weight. Hakosh nemasar. Okay, kosht kostis. I'm just reading you the translation from the Koran. You need 12 units of a maneh. Kilopa shlosha. Kilopa, it makes sense. It's aromatic bark, right? Because it's the kalef, right? So bark that kind of has a smell to it.
It's cinnamon.
Right, exactly. Vikinamon tisha. Okay, cinnamon 9. It's interesting because I don't know why. It kept going down in weight, and then all of a sudden we had shlosha and then tisha. You would have thought it would be the reverse. I don't know why. Okay, those are the 11 samanim. But now we're going to see that there were extra things they added. Borit karshina, and soon we're going to see why we added these. Okay, this is a type of lye, karsana lye. Tisha kabin, 9 kabins worth. This is already a lot less than all the other measurements. Yain kafrusin, wine that came from Cyprus. Si'in tlata, v'kabin tlata. Okay, 3 se'ah and 3 kabin, which 3 kabin is a half a se'ah, so it's like saying 3.5 se'ah. V'im ein lo yain kafrusin, if he doesn't have that, what can he bring instead, right? Substitutions, you ever do this for recipes, right? If you don't have a certain ingredient, what can you substitute? Mevi chamar chavayan atik, you bring old white wine. Melech stomit rova, okay, or rova hakav. Okay, 1/4 of a kav of melech stomit. Now, how you read this, it all depends on how you punctuate. Does it mean if you don't have yain kafrisin, you bring white wine with melech stomit? Or if you don't have that, you bring white wine, period. And in addition, you bring melech stomit. So it's a big debate why you bring the melech stomit. Is it because al kohor moncha takriv melech? If so, though, it shouldn't need a shear. And then also, why would you mix it in? It should just be brought while you're burning it. It doesn't necessarily have to be part of the whole mixture. So some people reject that. Some people say it's because it says mimlach in the pasuk about the ketoret, and they want it to be salted, and therefore they have melech stomi because it won't dissolve quickly. It was like bigger, it's like almost like kosher salt, you know, it was like these big salt particles. Tosfos says it's in order to use it with the yayin kafrisin, instead of the yayin kafrisin, that, right, the substitution for that is white wine with salt, okay, and then the salt is needed to counterbalance, right, what's not in the chamar chavayan atik that's in the yayin kafrisin. Male ashan kolshu, and now you need this plant called the male ashan, and just a little bit of it. What is that? If you remember, we learned in Yoma that the Avtinas family was the famous family that knew how to do the ketoret. They were the only ones, and they knew how to get the ashan to go up. Why do you need the ashan? Because by Yom Kippurim it says, right, that the anan era'el ha-kaporet, and the anan is made from the smoke of the ketoret, and from there they learned to every day it has to make smoke and has to kind of smoke up. And there was a special plant that they put in, and only the Beit Avtinas knew how to do this, in order to make it kind of, I think they were the only ones who knew, if I remember correctly, which was the plant that's Male Ashan. Okay. Rabbi Natan Omer, Afki Pata Yarden Kol Shehu, you would also add this plant that's found on the banks of the Yarden, at least that's some of the people interpret it. V'matan Dvash Psalah, if you put honey in it, even though it might make the smell good, it's pasul because we can't ever have dvash. Remember, there's a pasuk that says you can't have seor, you can't have leavened items, and you can't have honey in the Beit HaMikdash. Chisar achat mikos samamaneh chayav mita. If you miss one of the samamanim, you're chayav mita, big debate. Anything or only the 11, right? Is it also the borik karshina and all those other things? Or is it just the 11? Is it just a Yom Kippurim? Is it every day? There's debates about this. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Hatzari eno ela sraf hanotef, me'atzeh ktaf. The tzari, okay, the balm is not part of the tree, it's the sap that comes out of the tree. Borik karshina, now why do we use this? Sheshafim ba'et hatziporen, kedei she'eh na'ah. Okay, they would use this in order to clean the tziporen so it would be pretty. Okay, it would kind of take the black off the tziporen. Right? That's why it's lye, it's a type of cleaning material. Yain kafrisin shashurim bo'et ha-tziporin kadei shtei azan. Yeah, you can see why maybe you would need salt in it. If you don't have, they would soak the tziporin in the wine in order, this wasn't that they put this in the ingredients and mix it together. It was part of the process. They would soak it in this wine in order to make it stronger. The smell would come out stronger. Theoretically, you could use urine also to soak it in. Okay, and it should say, right? It's disrespectful to bring it into the mikdash, therefore they wouldn't soak it in the urine. Now, this is interesting, because what does this imply? That where were they making the ktoret? In the mikdash. Now, theoretically, you could think maybe they prepared it outside the mikdash and just brought it to the mikdash to be used. From here, the fact that you can't soak it in urine proves that they had to make it in the mikdash. Now, there's going to be a whole question about this. Kodesh, kodesh yalachem. There is no such pasuk. Most people say it means kodesh kodeshim tiyalachem, which appears by the ktoret. Kom aseh lo yu ela bakodesh. This supports what Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says, that all of its even making it has to happen in the mikdash. Meitive. Here we're going to bring a contradiction, though. Okay, for this we're going to have a long digression. Okay. If you're makdish all your property and there were things that were valid to go the korbanot tzibur, that could go as korbanot tzibur, what would you do? You would, okay, what's the issue? Makdish nechasav, we learned already recently that what? Standard is, if you'd say it's tam, it's bedekabayit. On the other hand, where you were makdish were items that should be sacrificed on the mizbeach. So what do we say? Well, they pay it, since omanim can get paid from Beta Kabayit. They use those items to pay the omanim who worked in the mikdash. Then they would buy back, they would then take money from the Trumat HaLishka, which was the money supposed to use to buy the items, pay the omanim. The omanim would give them the items, and then they'd use those items for the mizbech. So, Hani Dvarim Aruyim Maininu, what types of things are we talking about? What would be the obvious? Animals, right? It's weird they say chaya because chaya can't be used on the mizbeach. I don't know what they mean here by chaya. Tanale. It already says that in the Mishnah. It already specifies if it's animals, if it's wine or oil or solet, right? The flour. Tanale. It also says it explicitly. So what could it possibly mean when it says generally things that were oil or korbanot that weren't specified already? Elalav ptoret. It must be ktoret. And what do you see here? That the ktoret could be found in someone's possession, right? It could be I have ktoret, which wasn't necessarily made in the mikdash, right? And then, right, it's part of my possessions. I'm about to sell it to the mikdash. I didn't sell it yet. I sanctify everyone. Thinks, oh, if it's ktoret, then what happens? We give it to the omanim, and then they pay, right? And then the Truman Alishka buys it from them. So it seems to imply that. So in order to explain that question, they're going to have to find a case where the ktoret was made in the mikdash and yet somehow got into somebody's possession. Okay? That's what they're going to say must be the case. Amar Rabbi Yeshaya, bo tahani tene lumanim b'scharan. It must be the ktoret that was given to the umanim as their salary. Ditznan, okay, it should say ditznan, as it says in the Mishnah in Shkalim, Motar haktoret mayu asim. What would they do with the leftover ktoret? At the end of the year, if you remember, the Trumat HaLishka goes to buy the korbanot for that year. You can't use Trumat HaLishka from this year for next year, or from a previous year for the upcoming year. So also, you couldn't use the ktoret that was made one year for the following year. So what do you do with all the ktoret that's extra? So this is what you would do with it. Mafrishin schar ha'umanim. You separate money for the umanim. So you take money from the Trumat HaLishka that's hekdesh. You say, this is going to go for the salary. As soon as you do that, you designate it for chulin. So the money, it loses its hekdesh status. Okay? U'mechalelin ota al ma'ota umnim. Then you take this motar ktoret and say, well, we now have this money that's chulin. We have ktoret that's hekdesh. We're going to swap it. We're going to basically take the money we were going to pay them. Instead of paying the money, we're going to switch it with ktoret. The money now becomes hekdesh. The ktoret now becomes chulin. It goes to pay their salary. Now hits in our guy who came and said in the Mishnah, all of my possessions should go to Hekdesh. It was a guy who had gotten paid. He was in this interim stage where he had gotten paid from the Motar Ktoret. So the Ktoret at that moment belonged to him. And then when it belonged to him, he said, I'm sanctifying all my stuff. So now we have a case where the Ktoret was made in the Mikdash, which resolves our issue, but yet was owned by somebody individually. So that's our case. But what do you do with it now? Let's just continue. So, So mafreshim yimei schar umanim mechalim otam on od umanim v'notnim otam leumanim scharan. Sorry, I didn't read that inside. And then they pay them with it. V'chozrim v'lachim otam mitruma chadasha. Now they rebuy it back for the Beit HaMikdash with the new money from the Trumat HaLishka. Now that the money, the ketoret went to Chulin, we're now able to purchase it, bring it back to the Mikdash with the new money. So that's how we basically replace the value of the ketoret. First it was bought by old money, now it's bought by the new money, and now we can use it for this year. Okay, that's what they would do with the extra. Matkepla Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, wait, but it doesn't make sense, because Habakulu Motarot Tanei Chozrim V'Lachim Motar Mitruma Chadasha. With all the other motars, it says, Chozrim V'Lachim Motar Mitruma Chadasha. But here, it doesn't say that. Now, it's weird because our Nusach does say that. We just read it in the Mishnah. But he obviously had a Nusach that didn't say that you were supposed to buy it back from the Truma Chadasha. And therefore, he doesn't think that this could be the case. And therefore, El Amar Rav Yosef, he has a different way of understanding it. He says, it's that if you have in your possession, not the Ktoret, you have in your possession, let's say, Tziporen, which could go, theoretically, it could be mixed in with the some money, it could become ketoret. That's what he said the case is. And then you don't have any contradiction with, oh, it doesn't have to be created in the mikdash because it's just one of many some money. Tanu Rabbanan. Ketoret haitana set 368 mana. That's how they would make it. They would make it once a year, 368 portions. Why 368? Shasa kenegid imot hachama, one for every day of the year, 365. The Kohen Gadol had to bring a whole handful of ketoret to the Kodesh Kodeshim, so they would make three mana. Why? Maybe the Kohen Gadol was a giant and had giant hands, and, you know, we want to make sure we have enough for him to fill his hands with. And anything left over, as we said, gets given to the Omanim as their salary. Okay, as we said. Tanu Rabbanan. By the way, there's different gears here. It says mitruma halishka. It doesn't say mitruma chadasha. But, okay. Tanu Rabbanan. Motar ktoret echad l'shishim u'l'shivim shana. Now, think about it. If you have 365 portions that are used once every day, then you have these three extra portions, which generally the Kohen Gadol's hands aren't that large. Probably even a maneh is enough, and maybe even less than a maneh. So every year you're going to end up with a motar of 2 plus manim left over. Now multiply that by 60 or 70, you get to 140, and let's say it's 2 and change. So you get to around, 184. Now what's 184? If you get to 184 portions of leftovers after 60 or 70 years, you're going to have half a year's worth already, because you need 364. So half of that, of 368, half of that is 184. So after 60 or 70 years, you're going to end up with a motar of 184, depending on how big or small your Kohen Gadol's hands are. So therefore, after that amount of time, ayuma fatmino talachatzaim, they would create only a half a portion every year. Okay, they wouldn't create that year or an entire year. They would create half a year's. Lafichach, what can we learn from this? Yachid shepitem lechatzaim chayav derer ben shemen gamli. Remember, we had a whole thing. The shemen amishcha, if you do half the recipe, you're not chayav. But the ketoret, yes, and that's why, because they would sometimes make half a recipe, one every 60, 70 years, but still they would. This is Rav Shimon Gamliel said, Mishum Askan, in the name of the skan of the Kohen. Aval shlishu revia lo shamati, but I've never heard them make a third or a quarter, and therefore you wouldn't be chayav. The Chachamim Omrim, they have a different approach, b'chol yom etakem at konta. Every day, theoretically, they would make a batch of ketoret asamim, v'aya machnis. And then he would bring it into the Beit HaMikdash. You know, they would use it. Misayel el Rava. This supports Rava. Damar Rava. Ktoret. It should be Ktoret, not Shemen HaMishcha. Shepatmo lechatzaim chayav. Dichtiv. Ktoret asher ta'aseh. Kol she'ta'aseh. Anything that you make of it, even half. V'ha efshar da'avda pras b'shacharit u'prap ben arbaim. And theoretically, you can even make half a batch in the morning and half a batch in the afternoon. So any kind of proportion, it sounds like you'd be chayav for. Tanu Rabbanan. By the way, they're mixing here half of the year's portion, as Rabbi Ron Shabbat is talking about, and Chavim are talking about half of a day's portion. Okay? Tanu Rabbanan. Other things about the ketoret. Hayu machzirin otan lemachtesh pamayim b'shana. They would bring it back into the grinder twice a year to kind of get the smell going. So you would make it once a year, but two times during the year, they would put it back in to kind of get the smell going. Like mix it up again. פזורה שלא תתאפש. They would leave it spread out so it wouldn't get moldy. בימות הגשמים, צבורה כדי שלא תפול גריחה, right? This is good advice about how to keep your stuff, right? In the winter, keep it together because otherwise the smell is going to leave from all the cold. וכשהוא שוחק, and when he would grind it, אומר הדק היטב, הטב הדק. He would say, grind up well, well grind. דברי רבי אבא בן יוחנן. אבי יוסי בן יוחנן. We'll get back to this in a bit, about the talking to the spices. בשלוש מנין יתירים, שמהן כהן גדול מכניס מלא חפנה ביום הכיפורים, נותן אותן למחדשת בערב יום כיפור, ושוחקן יפה יפה, כדי שתהי דקה מן הדקה. He would grind it up even further. Why? כדתניה דקה, it says in the pasuk, if you remember, כתורת סמים דקה, okay? ביום הכיפורים. מה תמוד לומר? Why does it have to say דקה? הלא כבר נאמר ושכחת ממנה הדק. It already says you have to grind it up finely. So why would it have to say fine again? מה תמוד לומר דקה? כדי שתהיה דקה מן הדקה. It needs to be super fine. So they would take, as they make one big batch, and the part that they would use for the Kohen Gadol, they would grind up further. מסייל אל רבי יוחנן, sorry, I skipped. אמר מרק, שהוא שוחק, אומר, הטב הדק, הדק הטב. מסייל אל רבי יוחנן, דאמר רבי יוחנן, כשם שהדיבור רע ליין, if you speak to wine, it's bad for it, כן הדיבור יפה לבשמים. But when it comes to בשמים, right, like speaking to plants, it's good for your, right, it's probably an issue with maybe the oxygen and stuff, right, that it's not good for wine, but it would be good for בשמים. אמר רבי יוחנן, 11 סמנים נאמרו לו למשה מסיני. Bisinai. Okay? There were 11 sammanim that halacha l'moshe misinai, as I said before, 11 sammanim. Amar Rav Huna Maikra, where do we get it from? So they darshan the pasuk. Here's the pasuk. Kach l'cha sammim. Okay, let me read the whole pasuk. Hold it for a second. Kach l'cha sammim. Netef v'shachelet v'chalbona. Sammim. Ulivona zaka bad bebad yeh. Remember we saw the bad bebad yesterday? So, notice something very strange about the pasuk. It says, kach lecha samim, take for you samim. Then it says, netef v'shachelet v'chalbona. Then it says samim again, and then it says ulevona zakah. That seems very odd. Why is the order in that way? So, how are they going to darshan this? They say like this. So, if you say samim, samim is shtayim, okay? So, samim, trey. Netef v'shachelet v'chalbona, that's another three. Ha-chamisha. V'samim achrine, then it says samim again. So what do they understand the second samim? Not to mean two, but to mean double of what there was already. So there was five, now there's ten. Chamisha, so that we get another five. Ha'asara, ulevona zakah chadu, right, chad, ha'chadstre, right, so that gets you up to 11. So you have, right, two plus another three plus another five, right, because that doubled. Then the extra one, that's 11. So now they say, why would you read the pasuk that way? Ve'ema, why don't you say samim klal, Netef v'shachelet v'chalbona prat, samim chazar v'kalal, klal uprat uklal, yatadan ela ke'en haprat. Ma prat mefurash davar shekiter v'oleh v'reichon odef, af kol davar shekiter v'oleh v'reichon odef. Why don't you say it's klal uprat uklal, and it's coming to teach, you can use any sammanim that have the following characteristics of those three pratim. What's unique about the three pratim? That the smell spreads, and that it creates a smoke. They get smoking. The chitim, and if you want to say im kein lichtov kra chad prata, it could have just said one of them then. It didn't need all three of them, if that's really what it wanted to teach. So they say, lai mitzroch tzrichei, no, really, you need them. Di katav netef hava mina minilan, im aval gidule karka lo. They need the different ones because you might have thought netef is from a tree. You might have thought if it grows from the ground, not. Mishum hachi katav v'shachelet. We learn that shachelet comes from the ground and not from a tree. So therefore, it says shachelet, to teach you also growing from the ground. V'i katav shachelet hava mini gedule karka ina val mini lan emalo. Mishum hachi katav netef, right? So each one to teach the other. V'chelbona legufeata, and chelbona came for itself to teach mipnei sherecho ra, because it itself has a bad smell, so you might have thought you can't put that in because it has a bad smell, even if it has recho nodef and mala ma'akiter vole. No, but it's to teach you even that can go in. Then they say, if you want to do klal pratu klal, im kem mikach lecha nafka. You wouldn't need the word samim. You could have just said kach lecha, that's a generalization. Then you start getting into specifics. Ve'ema samim batrai trein ninhu, kisamim kadmai. And you also could say, the second samim maybe is two just like the first one. right? And that's why you say, the second samim comes to say, well, we already have five until now. It's double what we had before. Maybe samim is just two. So we have samim is two in the beginning, samim is two at the end, in which case we wouldn't get to 11. If you wanted to say that, you would have put samim, samim together. And then at the end you were right, netefesh chelav v'chalbona. Okay, so that's why we don't say the klal u'pratu klal. Now, though, we're going to have a debate Rabbi Yishmael where he darshins klal u'pratu klal here. Tane samim klal, netef shachela v'chalbona prat, samim chazar v'kalal, klal u'pratu klal, yatadan elakena prat. Ma prat meforash davar shekiter v'olev reichon odef, av kol davar shekiter v'olev reichon odef. So there you have, he actually darshins exactly that. But then he says, o eno ela, klal b'klal rishon, u'prat b'prat rishon. But then they say, well, maybe klal should be like the klal rishon, and prat should be like the prat rishon. We don't really understand what this means yet. The Gemara is going to have to explain because it's very unclear. Amart, and then they say, no, 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 don't say klal is like klal rishon and prat is like prat rishon. Lav, ha en lecha ela ladum b'lashon acharon, ela b'lashon rishon. Okay, all of this is unclear. The Gemara is going to try to explain. Amar mar. Oino ela klal b'klal rishon, uprat b'prat rishon, amart lav ha'in alecha ladun. Okay, so they're just kind of saying. Now they say, my kushya, what's the question? First they're going to have to understand the question, then they're going to have to explain what's the answer. Hachi kakashile, this is what they were questioning. Samim batrai trei, kisamim kadmai trei. Train. Okay, maybe you would say that samim batrai, right, that klal k'klal rishon, meaning the samim, the second samim is like the samim harishonim. Hadar shane Hadar v'shane k'dishaninan de'im kein yichtov kras samim samim netef v'shachela v'chalbona. So now they say, and then we can explain like we did before, which is that it would have said samim samim if it wanted the klal rishon to be right, the klal sheni to be like the klal rishon, and then netef v'shachela v'chalbona. Okay, umay prat b'prat rishon, what does that mean? Hachi kakashile minei ilanot yalfe min netef v'gidule karka yalfe mishachelet. So we learn minei ilanot from netef. We learn gidule karka from shachelet. V'lilfe na mi livona zakah. Why don't we learn it also from livona zakah? Da'aite b'chad tzad dinete davar sherechon odef v'af al pi she'en koter v'ole. What's unique about livona? It doesn't create any smoke. So what they're saying is, maybe you'd say prat ki prat rishon means maybe the livona should be coming to teach about what some manim you can use. That you can even use some manim that don't have the smoke coming up. Until now, what did the drasha say? It's only things that have smoke. But maybe we should use the livona. So hadar amar, that's why it said im kein nichtov kra le livona zakah bebitzie. It would have put that in the middle. And since it's after the klal u'pratu klal entirely, right? It's so that it would have put it bebitzie v'telef mina. But then, no, the reason why Levona Zakah is in the middle is not because of the smoke. It's because if you put Levona Zakah in the middle and then you said Samim, what would happen? You'd end up with 12, because then you'd have 6 before the word Samim, and then you'd have 12 altogether. So they say, Im kein nichtav Levona Zakah b'metzia, b'chalbona levasof. But you could have put chalbona out of the klal if you wanted it to teach you the, you know, if you wanted it to teach you that it doesn't have to have the smoke going up, Levona Zakah would have been in the middle. We would have put a different one at the end. Rish Lakish amar migufa. Rish Lakish says, we learn it from itself. Why? Malashon k'toret, and that's from the word k'toret itself we learn. Malashon k'toret, and that's, we don't learn that it has to be smoky from the klal u'pratu klal. We learn it from the word k'toret. Davar shekoter va'ole. It means something that rises up in smoke. So therefore, you don't even need the klal u'pratu klal to teach you that. Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Kol ta'anit she'en ba miposhe Yisrael ena ta'anit, sharei chalbona recha ra u'mena'a katuv im simmane k'toret. Okay, it says a nice thing here, right? If you don't have people who are bad people fasting, if it's just the tzaddikim who are fasting, you're not going to get your prayers answered, because you need everybody as part of it. And that's what this bad smell of the chalbona teaches you. Even though it has a bad smell, it's all part of the k'toret, and it's that, it's like that same image. And interestingly enough, you'll see the next drasha connects a little with the arba minim, right? You need everybody together. So look at the next line, and with this we'll end today. Abaye amar mehacha, he learns it from here, va'agudato al eretz yisada, right? That that the world is built on agudav, the joining together of all different kinds of people. On that note of nice, happy unity of all kinds of people, we'll end with that for today.